I think that how we're doing in Boulder County varies a little bit by municipality and the in unincorporated Boulder County. So as with any land area as big as Boulder County, that you're going to have differences. So within the municipalities, especially, you know, let's talk about Boulder first. I think Boulder certainly leads the county in bicycle facilities and a place to safely bicycle. But it still has its challenges. Some of those challenges are because of roadway design that was done, you know, in the 60s and 70s that we're still living with. A lot is due to land use that was done 60s and 70s that we're still dealing with. So, and some of it is easier to retrofit than others. And I think Boulder has done really, they've done the low-hanging fruit and beyond, I would say. So they've created a great multi-use path system that does have a few links, but they're filling those links, and the parts that they're filling now are really the harder projects, the bigger projects. If you look at the Wonderland Creek project off of 47th, between 47th and 30th, that was a known missing link for a long time. It's a wonderful new path. That was a huge project. You had to move a ditch. You had to go around railroad tracks. There were so many constraints. And that's the type of projects that are left in the multi-use system to make up those links, the really, really big ticket projects. And Boulder's making some good progress on that. You also see underneath going up 36, just north of Iris, where they're going underneath 36, cutting over to Palo Park, another very large project. So, but you know, to their credit, they're doing a great job of moving ahead on those projects. And, you know, you got to identify funding, and it's a big deal. On the street projects in the city of Boulder, those are harder because sometimes the bike paths don't go where you need to go, or they don't go in a very direct way. So people need to use the street, and that's just a fact of life. And carving a designated space for bicycles and pedestrians on the street is always going to be more difficult because you're interfering with, to some extent, the flow of traffic, or the, at least the flow that people are accustomed to. So we worked on 30th Street. There's a 30th Street plan out now. 30th Street is probably the most dangerous, most heavily used bicycle and pedestrian street in the city. Actually, no question about it. And we worked with the city on a plan over the past year and lots of public input. And the plan for it is really great. It's a protected bike lane through the length, a wider sidewalk. Now we're looking, and we're even looking at protected intersections, which those plans aren't finalized yet. But if we get that, that will be add even more safety to a dangerous road. And now we have to look at getting this built quickly and getting funding for it. And it went before council. Council stressed that they wanted to build quickly. So there is some political will around this, and we hope to move that project forward soon. And that would be a great improvement in the city of Boulder, because that's a major connection. There's also been a plan done for Arapaho. Now we're getting out in the county more, that will be a lot better for bicycle and pedestrian movement and for bus rapid transit, which we expect to see on Colorado 7 in the coming future. But, you know, that project is not funded. The bus rapid transit is not funded. So that's a little bit more vague. Going a similar project would be the Diagonal, where we're not as far along in the planning stages, but we anticipate bus rapid transit in that corridor too. And it's probably most likely running on the existing shoulder. But because we have so much room in that corridor, we can build a bike path down the middle. And that's great. And that will be a wonderful, wonderful connection. The issue with that is identifying funding for it.
But we'll talk about funding in
just
a minute.
We'll talk about funding for it. Sure,
but,
sure.
But the fact that there has to be so much retrofitting mm-hmm. to our current road systems, and particularly our urban areas, to accommodate bikes, I mean, that really reflects the attitude that, you know, the car was king when a lot of our road planning happened. But you did say there was something about community land planning that's also been a barrier. Give us some examples.
Yeah, so sure. So even just, you know, within the city of Boulder, the fact that on one side of west of Folsom looks very different than east of Folsom. So West of Folsom was the older town where it was developed in a more walkable way, like, you know, like East Coast cities and small towns and things like that, where you had sidewalks and the houses were closer to each other. And, you know, there used to be neighborhood stores where you could at least walk to some of your amenities. And there were, you can't think of like too many big shopping centers, a couple, but not too many. East of Folsom, we have a much different land use. We have, you know, four lane roads. We have giant shopping centers with big parking lots. You know, we do have multifamily housing, which is great. I mean, that's what I live in east of Folsom. But the sort of the land use doesn't really accommodate. It still requires people to get out in their car, even just to go from, you know, like Kalamea and 30th to Whole Foods or something. You know, it's a scary bike ride, so I'm going to get in my car and do it. That's what a lot of people are thinking. A part of Walk and Bike Month is to show them ways that they don't have to make that trip by car, because there are other ways that they might not know if they're just always in their car. So it's kind of that. And then you see, especially as, you know, the towns out in the county are growing, there's a lot of suburban subdivisions that are not really very close to amenities that people need, and they have big wide roads and no bike facilities on them, and so it's harder to get around in newer Lafayette by bicycle or newer Longmont by bicycle. And certainly it's hard to get from those places if you work in Boulder by bicycle, but you know, maybe a combination of bike transit, but our transit isn't great enough to really be car free. So, you know, there's a lot of like, if we could do this, then we could do that. But, you know,
not there yet.
We're not there yet. We're not you know, it's funny. Old cities that were built around horses and carriages are really appropriate for biking and walking. And European cities or older East Coast cities. And because it's that scale, it's that human scale, and that's the scale you need for walking and biking. And an automobile scale is a very different scale.
We're speaking with Sue Prant this morning on KGNU, as it is Bike and Walk to Work Day. Sue is the Executive Director of Community Cycles in Boulder and also the coordinator of Bike and Walk to Work Month, in fact, because it's been a whole month of events.
Yep.
And this has been going on for a while, Bike and Walk to Work Day particularly. Mm-hmm. You know, there are breakfast stations all over the place and people are really encouraged to come out. Is there a way to quantify the impact, how much then people stick with alternative modes of transportation after June?
Well, Denver Regional Council of Governments, who is really the overarching group that puts on Bike to Work Day in our region, they do a post-event survey to see how many people are continuing at least through the summer, I believe. So that does get quantified. That's why it's important that people register, because that's one of the few ways we can quantify it. And then we also have access to ask these follow-up questions that are really super helpful in planning efforts and just in directing more money to bicycle and biking and walking facilities.
Well, money is key for so many of these huge, mm-hmm. big infrastructure projects. And you did talk about some of the projects that are down the pike a little bit, but funding opportunities need to be identified. When we look at major infrastructure changes, like the creation of protected bike paths, particularly if you have to work around a ditch or go under a major thoroughfare, where does that money typically come from?
So the way funding for transportation works here in Boulder, and somewhat similar other places, but here in Colorado, is that the majority of funding comes from the federal government. So that's about 80% of the funding, and that gets allocated to the states at different rates. Some states are donor states, some states are receiver states, but it's just a very little bit of how much of your federal taxes are you getting back for that. And then it gets designated by region, and that's where Denver Regional Council of Governments comes in. So they're the regional group that decides, among other things, how transportation funding gets allocated amongst the municipalities and the counties. And projects apply to be on what's called the Transportation Improvement Plan. And the Denver Regional Council of Governments weighs the projects, puts things on the tip, as it's called, and those things get funded in six-year increments and things move around on the tip. Then the city has to make the match. So the city has to make a 20% match. So that match comes from sales tax in Boulder. And so there was a sales tax increase that we worked on maybe about 5 years ago or so, because there was a lagging amount in transportation sales tax. And that really helped. And that a lot of that money went to maintenance too, because all maintenance, like all filling potholes and everything like that, that comes from your city sales tax dollars. So this is just the money that comes from federal government is just new projects. But now sales tax is down again. So transportation has taken a big hit on that because they're so dependent on it. So we're seeing cuts in programming. We're seeing cuts in maintenance. We're seeing cuts in new projects, all because the city budget is down on transportation. So it's the tax dollars you spend in the city of Boulder really do help fill your potholes.
And aside from retrofitting streets, there's a lot of new development that is happening, particularly mm-hmm. in East Boulder County. Mm-hmm. But you did also earlier say that a lot of that newer development is actually very bike unfriendly, that it's still very automobile centric. Mm-hmm. I mean, what conversations are happening with city planners or the developers who are creating these new communities?
Yeah, I think it so varies by municipality. And I think that all the municipalities would like to see all new development be more bike and pedestrian friendly, but does their code require that? And a rewrite of the code is a fairly big undertaking. And some of these municipalities don't have a lot of staff. And even Boulder has not rewritten their code in a long time. Community Cycles has been working with transportation to get them to rewrite some of the codes for infill development on transportation issues. And that's something we continue to work on in many different spots, is where the code meets what actually happens in the road. And we've had some success about it with it. Every municipality doesn't have a Community Cycles doing that, or they don't have as many staff as Boulder has to be able to do that. And even in Boulder, it's difficult because it requires a code rewrite, and then it requires going public hearings and all sorts of things. And these things take time. And as with most things in government, the popular sentiment is a little bit ahead of how the speed of which government moves.
What do you see are the biggest advances that we've seen, aside from, say, the infrastructure and the creation of some of these bike lanes? But we're seeing other advances like the bike sharing programs, or RTD getting more on board with being able to transport your bike and or various different things. I mean, what are some of the big advances that you're seeing?
So I do think the bike share, we've had it for, I'm not sure, maybe 6 years or so. And it's good. It definitely helps certain people get around. It's not going to solve, just like any of these things, it's not a magic bullet. But it's helpful. And I think in places like Denver, where they've brought it on in a really large scale, it did force them to do infrastructure improvements because of the bike share program. So that's not as much an issue here in Boulder, but in many cities it has been. So they bring in the bike share, and then there's a bunch of people riding on the sidewalks. So they're like, oh, we better put in more bike lanes. And that definitely happened in Denver, and that's great. As far as RTD is a tough one. We've been trying to get them to get 3 capacity bike racks on the buses so that people don't get stranded on the jump.
I mean, I might have been a bit overly generous there.
Yeah, I think you're overly generous.
Because those big buses, right now, those bike racks that are at the front, you can only fit 2 bikes, right?
You can only fit 2 bikes.
And it seems to be up to the discretion of the driver whether or not they will allow bikes to go underneath. And as someone who used to do that, that was such a pain because I was worried about damaging a pedal, and it's quite a physical thing to have to shove your bike underneath the bus. And sometimes the driver wouldn't let you do that.
Yeah, it is difficult. And on buses like the jump, you don't have an underneath. So it's difficult. I have to say we have not gotten far with RTD.
Is it just a matter of having bigger bike racks, or what could change?
You could get a 3 capacity rack, which is used in most most transit agencies. So it's not a huge improvement, but it's one more. It's a 33% more. So that would be something we'd love to see them do. We get nowhere with RTD. No one gets anywhere with RTD, unfortunately. So hopefully that'll change.
Do you know anything about whether you can bring bikes on the light rail in Denver?
I think you can. I do think you can. Other cities' light rails, I've seen they have like a little hook, but I do think you can do that on the light rail.
And is that a big barrier for people who tend to have long commutes for their job, that riding a bike could be a component of that, but you're not going to be able to necessarily cycle from Longmont to Denver, but you could cycle when you got to Denver and you could cycle when you got to Longmont, but you need the bus as the, the connection.
And you need to reliably get your bike on. That's one of the things where the bus then bike shelters, which we've worked on with the county and now they're spreading all over, help. You need two bikes, you know, you need one at each end, but that does make it more reliable. So, but those are municipal and county initiatives. They're not RTD initiatives, but they're certainly helpful. And for if you don't have a car or you don't want to drive, you know, my husband uses it to go to Denver. He parks his bike Table Mesa, gets on the bus to go Denver, gets in Denver, gets on a B-cycle and goes to work. So
that's where the ride sharing.
Yeah, that's where bike sharing works too. So I'm sure there are a lot of people like him. So.
We're speaking with Sue Prant, who's the executive director of Community Cycles. She's also the coordinator of Bike and Walk to Work Day, here in Boulder. And it is Bike and Walk to Work Day. Now, we still have some treats here because KGNU's Boulder studio is a breakfast station. And there are, dozens of breakfast stations. It's certainly around Boulder, but this is metro area wide, right?
It's metro area wide. So there are 55 plus in Boulder, but it's within the entire region. So you can start off your day in, Broomfield and go to a station and end up at work in Boulder at more than one station.
Well, swing by here while we still have some things left. In terms of safety, obviously, safety is a huge thing when we have more bikes on the road. I have had discussions with you, Sue, and other bicycling advocates in the past who say the more bikes that we have, the safer everybody is. There's more awareness. But we don't seem to be there yet. And unfortunately, we have so many reports of bicyclists being killed, because if you are in a collision with a car, usually the person on the bike is going to come off worse in that case. So it can be dangerous. I mean, in terms of safety, aside from the infrastructure, what about just driver awareness or attitudes towards people on bikes?
So the city and to some degree the county are engaged in a program called Vision Zero. And Vision Zero is a worldwide program that says that, you know, bicycle and pedestrian and even car fatalities to some degree are preventable. And what can we do to prevent these crashes? And much of it is infrastructure, and much of it is infrastructure improvements that give the bicyclists and pedestrians a better chance and also make it safer for cars. But some of it is outreach. Some of it is enforcement. So speed kills. So if you get hit crossing the street and somebody is traveling 15 miles an hour versus if they're traveling 25 miles an hour, that's the difference between life and death. So so a lot of it looks at that. There is outreach programs. The city of Boulder has some of these Vision Zero programs that talk about driver awareness. They do a campaign called Heads Up, which has been a lot about crosswalks, but I think it's moving more to just general driver awareness. So that's important. But infrastructure really is the most important thing, because what the infrastructure we interact with dictates our behavior. So, and this is proven time and time again, that the most effective thing you can do for safety is really make your infrastructure safer.
Where are some of the big hotspots where you're seeing a lot of bicycle accidents?
So the highest number of bicycle crashes is the highest number of crashes, period, in the city of Boulder's 30th Street. Another big corridor is J Road. And we had two bicycle fatalities in 2 years on J Road. And to the county's credit, after the second one, which happened in March, which is a Community Cycles volunteer, they have taken really swift, admirably swift action to make improvements on that road.
What improvements?
You'll be seeing improvements on J. So they're narrowing the travel lanes and putting in buffered bike lanes and using some green paint. It's not as great as a physically separated barrier, but it's part of the way there, and it will help slow the traffic. They're looking at the speeds and speed limits. The problem with J is you have a big, long, straight, fast road and not much on it. So, you know, if you had a bunch of houses on it, that would people would slow down a little bit. But so we're getting there with J, and eventually when they redo J, there will be a physical separation. But they are doing a great interim measure. But things like that. So we really need to look at these dangerous spaces. The city of Boulder has done a safe streets report, which they're updating now, and that really identifies the crash locations that are the most dangerous. The county also has that, which crash locations are most dangerous. So a lot of the stuff in the county is CDOT roads, and CDOT isn't quite there yet with, you know, agreeing to make modifications to make the roads safer. They're still of the mindset of moving traffic quickly. So some of the things that we'd love to do, that everybody would love to do work on the county and us as well, we can't because they're CDOT roads. But we're getting there. And definitely, I would say both the city and the county are putting safety as paramount and as the first thing that we evaluate when we look at roads. And that is a new way of thinking. That was, believe it or not, everywhere. Safety was not the number one priority until the past couple of years.
We seen an increase in issues with texting and just distracted driving? Because it just takes a second of being distracted and you could easily hit a cyclist. Or a cyclist texting. I've seen that a lot too.
Unfortunately, yeah. So distracted driving is, they've measured this, is a high percentage of, and impaired driving is a high percentage of crashes. But not all, you know, certainly. And even if you have the distracted or impaired driver, if the road is narrow or the speeds are lower, they're physically forced to drive safer by the infrastructure, that will still answer some of that question of distracted and impaired driving if the road is engineered to be safer.
Well, just as we finish up, what are some things coming in the near future around biking that people should be paying attention to?
So as I said, hopefully the improvements on 30th Street, the two underpass projects I mentioned, actually the Wonderland Creek one is pretty much done. People should go check that out. That's a beautiful new facility. J Road this summer will be exciting. Another thing that the county is doing, so the Cottonwood Trail, which is part of the Lobo Trail, crosses J Road just on the gun barrel side of the diagonal. That they're going to put in an intersection there, like a light, a signalized intersection, which is great because I've been there so many times and seen people, it's really dangerous to cross. You've come to the end of the Cottonwood Trail. That's how a lot of people commute back and forth. And then you have to cross this four lanes of traffic that really has no gap in it. So that'll create a gap there. And there's going to be a little waiting area so you can queue and wait more safely. And then there's also, the county is also planning another connection to make, because at that point you still have to go on J Road for a while, to make the Lobo Trail more complete and go into Niwot and Gun Barrel. The diagonal, we're hoping for some planning on that soon and some news on that soon. So things keep going. And then, you know, Community Cycles does the kind of grunt work of making sure every little project that comes before planning board and, you know, that the lanes are right and that it's not pedestrian unfriendly and that where they're calling for two left turning lanes, we lobby for one left turning lane because that makes a much more pleasant atmosphere. And so there's a lot of day to day stuff that people don't see that aren't big projects, but that still happen just with either maintenance or new development and things like that. And that's our job to make sure that those things are all built with the safety of bicyclists and pedestrians in mind.
Well, Sue Prant is the Executive Director of Community Cycles in Boulder and the coordinator of the city's Bike and Walk to Work Month activities. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.